Right on time at 11 o'clock each and every Tuesday. It's Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management. He's joined this morning by Stamatis Astra, and I have the Professor Petro Vanvaka in studio along with Mike Janity. So, gentlemen, good morning and happy August 1st. Proto Minya. Kalimera sas.
Kalimera.
Kalimera. Kalomina.
Kalomina
kisas. Well, the end of July money found us another high market. The indices are high. They're close, they're getting close to all-time high. I think it's 2% off of S&P 500 for all-time high. The labor market, the latest data, layoffs declined in June. Positive signs in the labor market. Even though some of the big companies that keep slashing jobs like CVS. What is your assessment, and do you think August is going to be a summer slow month?
Yeah, so it's been quite the rise, 7 months of gains, with the NASDAQ being up close to 40%. The S&P, as you mentioned, near close to all-time highs. But the peculiar part is when you look at the S&P, seven companies out of the 500 have equivalent 65% of the gains this year. So it's very narrow, which is usually a sign of an unhealthy market. But for all intents and purposes, I think the market is extremely ahead of itself, that there's significant amount of headwinds that we continue to face, inflation just being one of them. And I think we're overextended, opening ourselves up to downside risk. And unfortunately, it looks like the bullish narrative is spreading to retail, which normally happens towards the end of a cycle, sucking in people at the very last minute, right before it's about to do the most amount of harm. And that is our expectation. I don't know if August will necessarily be a slow month, just due to the amount of momentum that is spreading through the market. You've seen other parts of the market slowly start to rally, like the Russell 2000, so it could broaden out slightly. But the other thing that I'm, we're concerned about is that people are checked out. You have a significant amount of people on vacation. You have a significant amount of people that are not paying attention to this cycle and what's currently taking place across Main Street and Wall Street. So you could have another month here without any hiccups and a continuation of the rally that potentially approaches the all-time highs even closer than where we presently stand today. But I would also point out that September historically is the worst month in the stock market on a calendar basis. You will have another Federal Reserve meeting in September, and you have Jackson Hole Symposium quickly approaching. So there's a number of things going on, not just here domestically, but internationally, as central bankers elsewhere are continuing to raise interest rates. We're getting some really bad data out of China. I think depending on where you stand, you could make a bullish or bearish narrative here. And only time will tell on which way it plays out.
Manny, I got two questions from our listening audience. Actually, they text me while we were speaking, so very engaged listening audience. The first question for Manny is about the Kava IPO. Obviously, a little bit of a Greek flavor there, the Kava IPO. And the second question is about all the AI buzz. There is like now ETFs that you can buy. There's companies that, that they are betting on AI, and you see their stock going up. What is your opinion about those two things? And thank you for the audience and participation.
Yes, thank you for the participation, first and foremost. The Kaiva IPO, so obviously, getting a bigger, getting above $4 billion in an IPO is nothing to blink an eye at. But I also think that when you look at other fast casuals outside of Chipotle, you originally get an initial burst up, pricing the stock for perfection and years worth of growth. And then things slowly kind of start to dissipate. So I'm not a massive believer in a $4.3 billion valuation on a Euro company. But, kudos to them for what they've been able to demonstrate. Obviously, there's a ton of attention being paid to that space. And if you believe in a recessionary impact, then you would imagine that fast casual and dining on that level probably does better than fine dining as people trade down for cost of goods. So not necessarily a bad opportunity, but it's not something that I would be paying attention to right now. I think there's much more attractive things out there. As it relates to artificial intelligence, I think this is similar to, you know, 2000, where you had all these tech companies that were promised to perfection and underdelivered for a significant period of time. I think AI does change the world. Does it change balance sheets and cash flow over the next couple of years? I don't, you know, truly tend to believe. And I also think that when you look at technology, you know, certain chip makers make a lot of sense here. I think NVIDIA at this valuation makes no sense, but it's also probably the hardest stock in the market to trade, to short against right now, just given the momentum. So at what point do revenues and fundamentals matter again? I don't know. Is it 50 times revenues? Is it 60 times revenues? Because it's trading, you know, around 30 to 40 times revenues right now, which theoretically doesn't make a lot of sense. But when it comes to momentum, things can persist for a lot longer than people expect. As we know, markets can stay irrational longer than one can stay liquid. But it's not something I would be paying attention to right now. I do think that you want to have some exposure, depending on valuations. For example, I think IBM is getting a pretty good benefit here, but I would not be chasing the likes of NVIDIA or Google or Facebook, as people have already deemed them the winners of AI. I think that narrative changes over the next decade. And don't forget, AI has been around since the 90s. It's been, you know, 20, 30 years that we've been promised this technology that was going to greatly enhance human lives, and it hasn't really played out. And there's been plenty of negative rhetoric around ChatGPT and other things of the like. Not to say that they don't become mainstream at some point in the future, but at this present time and at these valuations, you're gambling.
Are there ETFs for AI or not yet?
Can you repeat that, Samathi?
ETFs, the funds, the exchange trade funds for AI.
I'm sure there are. People come to people bring products to market on any given day that they could make money. And with this buzz, I'm sure that there is an AI way to play it through an ETF. But at the same time, I would be looking at quality companies that have decent valuations that will get exposure to AI. So taking almost a picks and shovels approach versus piling into a AI ETF, which is essentially going to look like buying the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, given the top seven names in both.
Mm-hmm. Manny, Petro, go ahead. I think you had a comment. Go first.
Well, it's nice to hear Manny again after a long time, you know, away from the radio. So I just want to bring you a little bit of geopolitics there, Manny, because, you know, you're seeing what's going on in Ukraine and Russia with the grain and shortages out, and seeing what's happening in places like Egypt and now this coup in Niger, and what's going on geopolitically with commodities, you know, like, you know, Niger, you know, with one of the biggest suppliers of uranium, and you have, you know, this grain situation in a country like Egypt and borrowing money now desperately to buy enough food. So what's your take on that, you know, as it unfolds in the next few months? You know, you mentioned China as well. So I want to hear your take on this geopolitical stuff.
Professor, it's great to hear your voice and to speak to you again. I hope you had great travels abroad and welcome home. I wish you joined us on last week's episode because this is exactly what we talked about. Yeah. I spelled out that the inflation narrative wasn't dead and that we were seeing things drastically jump in prices again, whether it was eggs, wheat, corn, natural gas is at pretty much all-time highs in Europe as you're getting ready for winter again. Gasoline in the United States is at the lowest level of reserves since 2015, and we don't really understand how we're going to supply those again. No one's really talking about gasoline at this point in time, but you're not where you were last year, which is making people feel better, but it's increasing pretty heavily on a month-over-month basis. Last week, we talked about oil, and I'm pretty sure we bottom tickets to Mati and Teddy because we said at $74 that this was a great opportunity, and the price of oil has almost advanced 20% since then. The way I look at it is I think commodities will continue to go higher, that this inflation narrative isn't dead, and that it will continue to be persistent, which means that Fed tightening and central bank tightening across the world will continue, as well as monetary policy tightening up and probably starting to see some growth dissipate. So I don't think the battle is over. I think geopolitical tensions are not getting priced in correctly from a risk perspective in the market, and things could get, you know, pretty hairy over the next couple months to a year. In particular, China's numbers are abysmal right now.
Yeah.
So what the narrative going into this year for anyone that was bullish, which most people weren't, we called for a first half of the year to be up, followed by a downside second half. Well, that bullish narrative was surrounded by the fact that China was reopening. So two things were wrong. China did not open the way that the market expected them to. In fact, that they are slugging along and probably need some level of stimulus here, especially as it relates to their property sector. But the other thing that most people got wrong was the ability of the U.S. economy to stay resistant and persistent in heightened headwind periods. But one thing that no one is talking about that I will put out there is that on October 1st, student loan debt payments continue. The average student loan payment on a monthly basis is about $393 a month. When you look across the amount of people that have exposure there, it equates to about $10 billion a month that is probably going to leave the economy and go towards paying off debt and interest, which will not be productive manners for the economy and probably dissipates growth. So when you look at technology, so that means probably Apple gets hit. When you look at retailers, clothing, which is about $26 billion a month in the U.S. economy, that probably gets hit. And then you look at leisure travel and hospitality. Yeah. So there are certain things that are taking place right now that are not getting priced in correctly, especially when you consider the fact that we're pretty close to all-time highs here. I think it's a very dangerous game.
No, agreed. I mean, And I think it's, you know, the additional piece, you know, well, what I'm leading you to as well, you know, I guess is like, you know, we're coming up to a presidential election year. So this is going to be like after Labor Day, you know, the whole presidential race is going to get into focus. So this is going to
be the hardest part right now to figure out right now, Professor, is what does the Federal Reserve do? Yeah. Do they stop in 2023 because they do not want to look as being political in an election year? If that's the case, then they probably sneak in another extra 1 to 2 rate hikes in 2023 that is not priced into the market. That would really disturb things.
Yeah.
Because it's either you do it now and you stay independent in the presidential cycle, or you kick to 2024 and then expose yourself to ridicule from either side of the aisle.
Yeah. And Europe continues to raise interest rates. I mean, the Europeans are raising interest rates, and, you know, so it's that pressure on the inflation is still there. So, you know, that Wall Street, Main Street debate is going to become even larger as we move forward. I think, you know, despite the numbers on Wall Street, Main Street is still going to be in a very difficult spot.
Yeah, and we haven't even breached the subject of commercial real estate, which is still a ticking time bomb hanging out there sometime in 2024, 2025 when those rates come due. And the reason why you've also not seen a lot of bankruptcies or delinquencies is that most of the high yield bonds that are catering to these companies don't mature until 2025. So even if, you know, your debt's not due, you can kind of chug along or slug along right now up until that point. So I think the recession that people foresaw in 2023 is about 6 to 9 months, late on arrival.
Yeah. And it's a different landscape. I mean, I was just reading, like it's something that's not necessarily in the headlines. It's like this whole pivoting that's taking place right now with China and Russia is not, I mean, they're just pivoting to other parts of the world. I mean, like the reconnection of Russia to the Caribbean and to Cuba right now that's taking place right this moment is unbelievable to me. This is the first time in 30 years since the collapse of the Soviet Union that the Russians are making such inroads in this part of the world. So I think you have like a...
How about this?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you have like.
I was going to throw on one more out there. How about the fact that they forgave $26 billion worth of debt in Africa?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's what I was alluding to when I said, you know, Niger and Mali and Burkina Faso, all three countries, you know, went through coup d'etats, all of them, particularly probably tied to Russia and certainly Sudan. So you have like this whole belt in the Sub-Saharan Africa area that's really extending out, and it's really going to have an effect on our global economy. So I think the landscape is much, much different than it was even 6 months ago when it comes to this geopolitical framing now. So,
mm-hmm.
Very good. Manny, just one stock I wanted to ask you about that we haven't talked about a long time ago, Amazon. You know, what's going on with the company in general? I still see the Amazon trucks every day blocking my passage through whatever street I'm on. But nonetheless, you know, it's split. What was it? about a year ago, maybe. I don't know. I lose track of time. Mm-hmm. But what's been going on with Amazon? Still a lot of major. I know there's some construction projects that have been slowed down. I haven't heard of them picking up pace again. Have we heard anything on them lately?
Well, Amazon's done well. They're mm-hmm. going to report earnings this week mm-hmm. on Thursday, I believe. But truth be told, I let the stock get called away last week at a valuation that I thought was more than generous. And I think that there's, you know, better buying opportunities and opportunities to get back into some of these companies later in the future. Mm-hmm. But when you look at any of the mega cap tech names after having a really bad 2022, mm-hmm. some of them are up anywhere between 50 to 200% year to date. You know, the macro environment nor the economy changed that quickly to create such a, you know, abrupt rise in their market caps again. Mm-hmm. So I would be, you know, really hesitant here with any of those seven companies. For example, not to say that, you know, the market as a whole is expensive. It's not. One of the key factors into this year is that seven companies in the S&P 500 have attributed 65% of the gains. So now look at the other 493 companies that are out there. There are buying opportunities and bargains to be had. The problem is that you have the entire economy concentrated in about seven different companies. Mm-hmm. That could probably spell trouble. In particular, Apple. I think Apple you know, could really be at risk here. Not to say that they don't have a ton of cash on their balance sheet, but if they're going to continue with the growth rate that they've been on over the last couple of years to make sense of a $1 trillion market cap, you know, then you really do need to see growth coming from other regions other than iPhones, which have been declining in sales. And we mentioned the student loan debacle earlier. You know, if you look at Apple's earnings, it's about $120 million in North America last year, or $120 billion in North America last year. That's about $10 billion a month. That could be, you know, the student loan payment alone could really take down Apple in terms of their revenue.
Wow. You know, just since you brought up Apple, when I was in Greece, and, you know, no matter where you went, everybody had an iPhone. I mean, I was just amazed. You know, you go to the airport, you see all nationalities, everybody with an iPhone. It was just, it just hit me all of a sudden like a ton of bricks. Like, you know, how does one product dominate the world, no matter what it's doing? But how did it get to the point where, you know, everybody basically has got one?
And the network that it creates.
Yeah.
It's the information network. It's not just the product itself, the hardware, but it's the network that it creates and the interconnectivity in a completely different way. I mean, just going back to that previous point, I think we're in such a brave new world right now that it's very, very difficult for us to just, like, you know, calculate with the tools that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Manny, always just such a great job. Stamati,
nice,
thank you so very much. You know, we do this each and every Tuesday with a up-to-date weekly market update. Manny, I'll give you the last word. Give me the good news of the week.
Look, it's got to be the gains that you've had this year in the market after a pretty bad 2022. As an investor, you've been given the chance to reallocate. And one thing I actually forgot to mention is don't be surprised if you start August off on a bad note, because you do have some window dressing happening here, meaning that stocks, after being up on such a rise and bonds being ignored, you will have fund managers changing allocations today, which is, you know, my last time I saw the market was down close to 15 or 20 points in the S&P this morning. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw some sideways trading here or some down pressure, but with an explosive, you know, slide towards the end of the year or beginning of 2024, as some of these risks that we mentioned, you know, play into the market. But at the same time, again, there's a bull market anywhere. You know, oil last week was a perfect example. Commodities this week, things like that, we've said it before, things that if you drop it on your foot, you know, and it hurts, probably do well in an interest rate rising in an inflationary environment. And I don't think that the battle against inflation is over. I do think that it's starting to pick up again, which, you know, really puts the economy and the Federal Reserve between a rock and a hard place.
Manny Frangidakis, 12 Points Wealth Management. Manny's number, 617-212-8343, 617-212-8343. Manny Stamati, thank you so very much.
One last note, Teddy.
Please.
One last thing.
Please.
Treasuries right now, they're back up to significant levels. You mm-hmm. can get a three-month Treasury bill at 5.5%. That's a 5.5% annualized return.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that's a risk-free trade at this point in time. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point you see smart money getting pulled off the table, because why am I going to risk anything to try to make 10 or 15% when I can get 5.5% guaranteed in a very, very puzzling world? Use those interest rates to your favor. It's the first time in over two decades that you're getting paid for capital.
Very good point. Very good point. Manny Stamati, we'll do this all over again. Same Manny time, same Manny station next Tuesday right here on WNTN Radio. Gentlemen, have a great day.